Okay. Hello and welcome to the new Big Book Awakening, Whole in Our Soul, Recovering from Compulsive Eating Workshop. My name is Melissa, and I am going to be your workshop leader. So a couple of things I'd like to begin with. First, I just want to set the tone for the workshop and talk a little bit about how I got here and why I'm of service today, why I'm doing this. So we have about 100 people who've signed up for the workshop. I have hard confirmations from about 55 people who have the workbook and are ready to begin. Others may have the book and be ready, but I just haven't heard from them. So with about 100 people in the workshop, what I considered was just the immense need for a reliable, clearly understood process from which to recover from a hopeless state of mind and body. And, you know, I had sensed that this need was far greater than just my own. I went through this work 2 years ago, had a remarkable experience, have changed many things in my life as a result, am significantly physically changed, but also spiritually and mentally. And a part of that was that I got a grant to go back to school and finish a degree that I had wanted to pursue, that I had lacked the courage to pursue. And getting unblocked from a number of false beliefs about myself, I was able to do that. And so I had moved out of the area where I first went through BBA for about 14 months. And I've just returned to that area here in San Diego and found that there were no more women sponsoring and taking others through the food work than when I left. So, but yet there were still many people who wanted to go through the work, and not just here in San Diego, but really around the country. So I just set about testing the waters for the need for a workshop or a meeting. And, we had a survey, and overwhelmingly, it was decided that we would have a workshop to bring other people through the work and with the intention of perhaps having an ongoing meeting, a support meeting for Big Book Awakening Compulsive Overeaters at the end of the workshop, which is exactly how the very first meeting here in San Diego of Big Book Awakening developed. So Big Book Awakening is a step study or a method of studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, where we substitute the way Bill thought, felt, and acted with alcohol with how we think, feel, and act with compulsive eating, food, and food behaviors. And this can also include body obsession. So that's our intention today, to go through the work in that way. It also occurred to me that, you know, if we did a workshop like this, if I were able to have the courage to be of service and just simply to carry the message forward of what has been so graciously given to me, that in turn could be carried to still more others. And it was a way to alleviate the suffering of many compulsive overeaters instead of just a few that I would work with one-on-one. So if perhaps, you know, each one of us completes this work and we can carry that work to just a handful of others, maybe 1 to 3 people, in just a few short years, you know, it's possible to reach 1 million people around the world. And so, you know, I see that compulsive overeating addiction is becoming greater, not lesser, in popular culture today, and not just in the United States, but around the world. And so I think there's going to be a greater need, an exponential need for food recovery as the disease grows exponentially in our cultures. So it's not going away. And so if you're suffering from compulsive overeating, from anorexia, from bulimia, from binging, from meal skipping or restricting, as we call it, from overexercising, you're welcome here. you know, we invite you to come and do this work for us. There is another way to live. There is a solution. So what is compulsive eating? You know, it's an umbrella term for many types of disordered eating. I've just named a handful of them. The disorder manifests in various forms, but it all kind of stems from having a disordered relationship with eating. It all stems from a spiritual malady if you are of the type of eater as described in the Big Book. We will spend the first probably 6 weeks going through self-qualification of whether you are the type of compulsive overeater that has a spiritual malady, a mental obsession, a physical allergy. We're going to walk you through that so you're going to know if you're the real deal or not. It's a self-qualifying diagnosis. We're all non-professionals here. We're all being of service. No one's paying me to take you through the work. And I don't work for you. You don't work for me. This is all mutual aid. So compulsive eaters could be anorexics, bulimics, overeaters, bingers, purgers, or restrictors, sometimes known as meal skippers. Now, this is not the kind of person that occasionally overeats at Thanksgiving or skips a meal on a busy day. We're talking about people that engage in this behavior compulsively. That means they do it even though they don't want to. They engage in it compulsively despite an intense desire to stop or refrain from it. That they cannot, on their own power, stop or refrain from it. So untreated compulsive eaters, and I was one of them, continue to believe that they can have a sane and useful life if only they could manage well, right? That's managing our food, managing our lifestyle, managing our marriage, managing our relationships at work, in the family, managing our children. It could manifest in various forms. Unfortunately, if you are a real compulsive eater, that day never arrives for good and for all. And so this leaves me, the eater, in a hopeless state of incomprehensible demoralization, right? So I used to call it over the next hill thinking. I would always think the next diet or the next geographic relocation or the next gym I joined, the next trainer I hired, the next food that I ate, something was going to make me feel better and something was going to be the answer and something outside of myself, some other person, place, or thing, the next marriage, the next partner, the next baby I would have, that somehow the answer was out there instead of inside of me. And that as soon as I had acquired that person, place, or thing, that I was going to have that sense of ease and comfort, and I wasn't going to feel like this anymore, and I certainly wasn't going to eat like this for the rest of my life. I always believed that, but decade after decade, I could never get a hold of it. So, if you were an untreated compulsive overeater like I was, this describes how I came to food recovery. So in as much as you may be hurting inside as I once was, you might be full of fear, you might be spending an inordinate amount of time thinking about your struggle or what you're unhappy with in your life. You might spend a lot of time thinking about how you were going to finally overcome your obsession with food or body image and have the life, you know, that you were envisioning. I just want to tell you that you don't need to suffer anymore if you don't want to. There is a solution to be found in this rooms, and I hope it speaks to you as much as it spoke to me. I'm going to do my best to convey everything I've been given to you so that you have the best chance of recovering. In BBA, we have a step-by-step kind of line-by-line instructions and very careful guidance of how recovered compulsive eaters access a power big enough to relieve them from compulsive overeating for good and for all. Root and branch, we call it. So I'm going to unfold exactly how to do that in our weekly calls. So I'm going to take you through the text of the Big Book, Awakening, and the Big Book itself, line by line, to demystify the dated language that you see in the Big Book so that you can experience the same miracle that hundreds of others have. It's been my experience that if you do the work as written, if you just complete the simple assignments each week, if you're willing to go to any lengths to do what it suggests in these instructions, that you're sure to have your own spiritual awakening sufficient enough to cease your compulsive eating behaviors for good and for all. And that's just been my experience. You'll need 4 pieces of literature to do this work. You'll need 4 to 5 hours per week to dedicate to it. And you'll need a step partner to begin the workshop. We use the literature that I'm talking about in every assignment, so you really need to have that. And we meet for 2 hours every Wednesday evening to go over the work and the assignments that you'll be given. On your own, it will take about 2 hours to do the reading and writing assignments each week, and then you'll have a call with your step partner for about an hour. So we're looking at about 2 hours to do reading and writing, about an hour with your step partner, and about 2 hours with me. So that's where we get the 5-hour estimate. So these things are necessary to this work. And if you need a step partner, don't panic. Please just contact me and I will help you. I will help match you with a step partner. This work is so powerful, and your relationship with a power greater than yourself is so direct as a result of doing this work, that it will not matter who you step partner with. You two, as spiritual equals, are merely going to act as a mutual support and touchstone for each other as you go through the work. And I'm a spiritual equal as well, and I'm literally just acting as a support to guide you through the work. So, you know, it does not matter who you are partnered with as a step partner. It really doesn't. The experience that you're going to have is going to be so direct. You're going to understand it as soon as you get into the work, I promise you. But for now, if you need anything beyond that, beyond just the simple homework assignment with your step partner, those instructions will be provided. You'll never be left on your own to kind of figure it out. Right? Figure it out is not a slogan of any kind in recovery. So you'll be given everything you need to do this work successfully. You're not going to miss the miracle if you just are able to follow the simple instructions. All you need to provide is the time necessary to do the work, a little bit of self-discipline to get it done, and the willingness to recover, the willingness to have a new experience. If you're not sure if you have the proper materials, please just search your inbox for an email from me. Again, my name is Melissa, and it contains an itemized checklist with everything that you need. Everything has been laid out for you, but you may need to sit down and review that email to really understand what you've got. I'd just like to take a moment to remind everyone that this is a workshop, and it's not a general sharing meeting on food recovery of any kind. If you are looking for a telephone meeting for compulsive eating, or you simply wish to listen to the workshop passively without doing the work, I would encourage you to hang up and to go to bbaworks.com and click on the meetings page to participate in meetings by telephone or in person, or to click on the audio page to listen to recorded workshops. So this workshop in particular is a closed loop workshop. It's for people who want to be guided. It's for compulsive overeaters and compulsive exercisers who want to be guided through the 12 steps of Big Book Awakening so they can have a spiritual experience sufficient enough to get and stay abstinent for good and for all. That's the intention of this workshop. Okay, let me just take a deep breath and breathe God in. We're covering a lot of ground here. I hope it's helpful to you. I want to talk a moment about step partners. So at its core, Big Book Awakening is about working the steps in the way described in the Big Book, which is the original way that the co-founder of AA, Bill Wilson, took others through the steps. The book is essentially, his experience. So a key component of this book study method is the fundamental understanding of the need for reliance on a power greater than oneself or other human aid, right? Another person. So today we see a lot of human reliance in the rooms of the programs that end in A. And this could look like reliance on your sponsor instead of a God of your understanding, for example, or it could look like reliance on the meetings rather than working the steps. So in Big Book Awakening, we illuminate the instructions in the Big Book that tell us not only what to do, but how to do it. So not only that we must rely on a power greater than ourselves, or live another way to recover, but we reveal clearly and precisely how we're guided to do this. And we kind of decode the language in the Big Book so that you have a clear understanding of it. That's what we do in our calls. So for years, I was told what to do in Overeaters Anonymous or in recovery programs, but rarely was I shown kind of exactly how to do it. And I'm not talking about how to fill out a workbook. I'm talking about, like, how do I pray? How do I take something to God? How do I let it go? How do I take a daily inventory of myself? How do I know when I have a resentment? How do I know how to get rid of it? So really the how of it, you know, the intimate experience of one person showing another person the way out. So I'm hoping to be here to help you uncover those methods and discover a simple way to work the 12 steps and to discard the old ideas that might be blocking you from a spiritual awakening, you know, sufficient enough to get and keep you abstinent for good and for all. So I personally, you know, my experience is I went through the work 2 years ago and it profoundly changed my life. Profoundly. You know, I'm smaller today physically, but I am also much more right-sized spiritually. My friends and loved ones say I'm much more gentle, that I laugh easier, that I have more confidence, a sense of belonging. I'm more comfortable in my own skin. I'm more apt to try new things. I'm less fearful, more courageous. I've heard all of these things as unsolicited feedback from friends that are just like, what is going on with your life? You know, you have such a light inside of you. People have described me as being bright and shiny after I completed the work. I've heard all kinds of different things. It's just like I'm lighter. That's how I feel in my body. I feel lighter, you know, spiritually lighter. I've been relieved of the obsession surrounding eating and food behaviors. You know, it's incredible. You know, my relationships are so much more loving and gentle than they were today. That's another thing I've heard multiple times. I've heard you're just so much more gentler than when I last saw you 5 years ago. So, I don't know if any of you can relate to that. So, you know, today when I'm invited to dine out with friends, you know, I'm just, gosh, I'm so much more present. I guess that's how I would describe it. You know, I'm not preoccupied by the bread basket or the dessert cart. You know, if someone's talking to me and they're sharing a funny story or something about their day, I'm actually listening to them and I'm engaged with them. You know, I'm present. I'm there. And I don't need to wait until I have something in my mouth or, you know, until I've had my food in order to be present. I very much needed to do that before. When I was restricting, it was like I needed to wait until I could refuse all the food offered to me before I could be like calm. I guess. So I've been a binger and I've been a restrictor, and those are, you know, those are kind of the two ways I would describe it. Or if I, you know, if I was really into exercising and I got into over-exercising, it was like I just couldn't really be present for you until I had engaged in some part of my disease. It was what I used to have a sense of ease and comfort outside of myself. And today, my life looks fundamentally different. I'm very grateful for that. And I still have the awareness of it. I hope I never forget so that I can not only remember how far I have come, but so that I can consistently relate to the newcomer. You know, the newcomer is so important to me. I really, you know, not only have I been relieved by some of these things that I'm talking about, but I've been given this greater sense of purpose by doing this work. The piece of service that I get to engage in and the way that I have meaning in my life that I didn't have before. I didn't even necessarily know that I was missing it until, you know, I was given the gift of this, the 12th step of working with others. The BBA workbook contains 23 weeks of transcriptions, and we're going to have a few weeks where we skip a week here and there. We have little breaks. So we're actually going to be about 26 weeks meeting with each other. And those transcriptions are handwritten transcriptions that we move from the workbook into our own big book, and we write them by hand. And along the way, I am inherently personalizing the book to include my own story by proxy. So where it says alcohol, I might write excess food, or I might write a type of food. I might write compulsive overeating. As we go through the work, you're going to be guided to try to find some language that feels appropriate to you. I'm going to help you with that. And so is your step partner. So using this method, we also show members how to turn all of the statements in the big book into questions. And these questions become our considerations. So oftentimes you'll hear conversation like one person says to the other, "Have you done your assignment this week?" "Oh, yes, I have." "Have you done your considerations?" Putting your writing in your book is one thing, but going back to consider the questions that are posed before you and a higher power of your own understanding, if you have one at that time. But just quietly contemplating or considering the question to reach your truth, to have that new experience. This is what our considerations are. So we begin each step guide meeting with a prayer to set aside everything we think we know for an open mind and a new experience. So no matter how long you've been working the 12 steps, or how much service you've done, or how much you know about the program, how much you know about God or yourself, we set it all aside and we ask for an open mind and a new experience. Because if there's some way in which you're still trying to expand your spiritual life, or if there's some way in which you're not yet abstinent, or which you're still agnostic, you know, it's only gotten you this far. We want you to have a new experience, and so you can see that God can take you further. I guess that's how I would say it. Do you believe that God can take you further? And that's part of what we're doing here. So as we consider these questions we've transcribed in our book deeply, we consider them carefully, and we ask ourselves, particularly in the first three steps, where have I thought, felt, and acted with food and with eating or with overexercising like Bill did with alcohol? So let's get into describing how transcriptions work, okay? So the first assignment. So beginning by reading page one of your sponsorship guide, that's one of your PDFs, it says sponsorship guide at the top. We see in bold a section that says something like a week before the first meeting. It's near the bottom half of the page. And here it tells us to read everything in our big book from the very first page all the way up to XXIV, or Roman numeral 24. So we do that. That's what you're going to do before the first meeting. And then the sponsorship guide tells us to transcribe everything in the BBA workbook by hand into the new big book that we just read. We're going to copy everything over by hand into the new big book. You heard that correctly. So we do that. Okay, how do we do that? We look at everything on pages 1 through 8 in your thin blue BBA workbook, or Big Book Awakening workbook. That's the thin blue book that you ordered online. We look at everything on pages 1 through 8 that is in bold and italic, bold font, and we literally copy it over into our big book where it tells us to. If you see what looks like a P with a double line through it, that tells you the paragraph. If you see the letter L, that tells you the line in the book. So it tells us the paragraph and the line where things go. That's it. That's all. That's all that's required in the transcriptions. And for this first task, we simply handwrite everything in bold into our big book where it tells it to. We draw what it tells us to draw, and we write what it tells us to write into our book, keeping it very simple. Now, once having written all of that into my big book by hand, I take a break. I get up, I walk the dog, I fold the laundry, I get a drink of water, I take a break. And then I come back to it. I come back to the book. And now I sit before God, if I have a God of my own understanding, or I sit in quiet contemplation with myself. And now I read the questions that I've transcribed where it says DIB or do I believe? Or has it been my experience that? Now I consider these questions carefully. And again, these are called our considerations. And then once I finish that, once I've considered those, now having completed my considerations, I hopefully know a little bit more about myself. Maybe not a lot, but a little. Now I'm ready to participate in our weekly call on Wednesday nights. And now I'm ready to allow the step guide to lead me through something to be revealed in the reading. So your first assignment is to transcribe the circle and the triangle in your book as outlined in the sponsorship guide and the subsequent Big Book Awakening workbook. So I'm now going to open up the call for questions only before general sharing. It's important that if anyone is unclear, that they simply just state their name and tell us their question. So let's open up the call to questions only, and you'll need to press *6 now to unmute. So again, I encourage you to press *6 now before you speak. If you have background noise, children, people coming in and out of the room, please stay muted until you go to speak, because the background noise is very distracting for the rest of us in the call. So again, you want to press *6 to unmute when you're ready to speak. And if you need to re-mute yourself, simply press *6 again, okay? So we're going to open up for questions. Thanks for letting me be of service today.